हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय सो भक्ति संदर्भ अध्याय 1 आदिकाण्ड 3 भक्ति अलोन इज द कंक्लूजन ऑफ ऑल द स्क्रिप्चर्स पेज 83 सो देन फ्रॉम द सेकंड हाफ ऑफ द we'll read the Riti. In the previous Anucheda, it is explained that one should completely give up all other activities and engage in chanting and hearing about the Supreme Lord. However, unless one has full faith in the devotional process, one cannot perform these activities all the time. The next Anucheda therefore instructs one not to give up one's occupation or duty until one develops full faith in the process of bhakti. It is also stated that such karma yoga should be performed with detachment by offering the results of karma to the Supreme Lord. Over the next few anuchetas, the hierarchy of Naishkarmya, karma mistra bhakti, and pure bhakti is elucidated by first describing Naishkarmya. Anucheta 62. Karma is rejected and bhakti is prescribed. Quote, paroksha vado vedo yam balanam anushashanam karma mokshaya karmani vidate yagadam yata. The Vedas, speaking indirectly, prescribe karma yoga in order to liberate people from karma. Just as a father promises candy in order to get children to drink medicine. 11.3.44 Srimad Bhagavatam Udriti Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The meaning of the Vedas is hard to understand. It uses indirect expression, paroksha vadaha, in which the meaning appears to be something different by the sages who understand the intention of the Lord. In order to hide the real meaning, the Lord has said, Veda, Brahmatma Vishayas, Trikanda Vishaya Ime, paroksha vada rishayah paroksham mama cha priyam. The Vedas, divided into three divisions, ultimately reveal the living entity as pure spirit soul. The Vedic seers and mantras, however, deal in esoteric terms, and I also am pleased by such confidential descriptions. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.21.35. The indirect expression is explained. Karma is prescribed to liberate the people, right? So when it's used in context of the bhakti, then it will bring you, it will elevate you, it will liberate you, right? So the point is, you want to get out of the material world. That's the karma aspect. But the karma means nice karma, has to be connected to Krishna, and then bhakti, that will then bring you closer to Krishna in prema. Quote. But karma is prescribed for going to Swarga, not for attaining liberation from karma. That's the doubt. It is like ordering children to take medicine. If you take this medicine, I will give you a sweet. Tempting the child in this way, the father makes the children drink bitter juice and gives them sweets. Otherwise, he cannot make them drink the medicine. However, the goal of drinking medicine is not getting sweets, but to cure disease. Thus, Vedas prescribe karma yoga, tempting people with material results in order to liberate them from karma. Sardar Darshani 11.3.44. Right, so the karma, that karma yoga, its only purpose is to get you to give up the results. And so then it means to bring you to that platform so that you're following the Lord's instructions, you're following the Vedas, you're following everything. The idea is that, you know, they'll wave the carrot of Swarga and all that. And so then people will make that, they'll get enthusiastic and make the endeavor, right? Because even I have knowledge, unless there's that aspect of prajumna where I'm inspired to apply that knowledge, I don't take it any further. But when I'm inspired, then I'll think about it, and then I'll get attached to the idea. So then coming to that, then I need. So then I'm willing to then perform. So thinking, feeling, then willing. Right? I hear about it, I think about it like that. But until I get some interest, the feeling, then I don't go forward to willing. So once I will, or I this is what I want, then I will engage myself in the actual activity. Nachared yastu vedoktam swayam agyo vitendriyaha vikaramana hyadaramena mrityor mrityum upayeti saha. If an ignorant person who has not conquered the material senses does not adhere to the Vedic injunctions, certainly he will engage in sinful and irreligious activities and attain repeated birth and death. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Radha Krishna Das, who's that?
That's Mataji's son.
Oh, okay. If the goal is freedom from karma in the beginning, the Veda should tell people to give up karma, right? So he's saying if its goal is that, you tell them to just give that up. So then his uttara, if a person does not perform karma yoga, such as early morning bath or sandhya rites, he will engage in sinful acts such as irregular eating and association with women from the early morning, like an animal. Because of being unable to remain without performing actions every day, the Lord has said, Nahi kaschit kshanam api jatu tishat yakarama krit. The jiva cannot remain without performing action for a moment, right? So he must either be engaged in recommended action or he will create his own action. He has to be absorbed. So either he'll follow the recommended prescriptions for religion or he'll make up his own religion, right? Because he'll say, oh, yes, this is me. I don't feel that it was me. It wasn't true to myself. And like, so they create a religious, supposed religion around themselves. And then they engage in activities that they say, yes, this is me. Yeah. So this is the point that Krishna is saying, is that they have to. So in this way, at least then they're following the Vedic instructions. So indirectly, because they don't know that it's meant for bhakti, don't necessarily know that it's meant for coming close to the Lord. All they know is that they are engaged in these activities because they're going to get a benefit, right? So either I'm going to get a benefit on my own that I make up, which will be sinful, or because of the offerings of the benefits of karma, I will follow the Vedic version and in this way get benefit. So we see is that, yeah. Bhagavad Gita 3:6. Because he loses discrimination by performing sinful acts known as adharma, forbidden in the scriptures, he will attain death from yama, mrityoho, hell. The Shruti says, mritva punar mrityum apadyate ardyamana swa karma bihi. A person attains repeated death with sufferings by his actions. Sardartha Darshani 3:11-35. Vedoktam eva kurvano nishangor pitam ishvare naishkarmyam labate siddhim rochanartha phala shrutihi. A person who performs the karmas mentioned in the Vedas becomes detached from the results, offers the results to the Lord, then attains destruction of all karmas. Only for attracting the people are mature results mentioned in the Vedas. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.46. Right? Because by performing karma, you get knowledge and detachment. They're the natural things. You perform them properly. And so then then those activities can be performed without desire for action. I mean, results that will bring you to the liberation platform. And so then when, as you are less and less bound by the modes of nature, right, then the interest in pure devotion then becomes, starts to become prominent, right? So then that takes over. And so then the bhakti becomes the main point. So as mentioned before, as passion and ignorance are overcome by goodness, goodness is overcome by performing your duties without attachment to the results. That's the Naishkarma. And but then bhakti will take you forward into ananda, into the transcendental platform, where then one will gain that affection for the Lord, and the real aspect of ananda of the jiva is then applied. Udriti, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura. The most merciful Vedas, luring them with material results, prescribe karmas for persons who are opposed to bhakti, who are like animals, in order to remove the strong desire for enjoyment. Right? So here are the ones that are inimical to bhakti. So then they are given the possibility to be engaged in these karmas for their own benefit, but at least they're engaging in a lifestyle that is favorable for bhakti if they, as they come in contact with it by the Lord's grace. So this idea of that we can see is here is the soft preaching is actually that's going on in the Vedas. That's actually meant for those who are inimical to bhakti, right? So for the preacher, then the persons, you have the Lord, you have the friendship, the worship the Lord, friendship the devotees, kind to the innocent. That means either junior devotees who don't know so much, you know, just those who are, you don't have the proper understanding, but are favorable, or for the karmis who aren't inimical to bhakti. And then those who are inimical to bhakti, those are avoided. So for us in preaching, then this so-called soft preaching is not actually the method, right? Because you have to show some way that it connects to Krishna. So Narad Muni, because he would preach throughout the universe, he would preach nice karma. Perform your duties because you have that attachment, those needs. You don't have that full attachment to bhakti. So therefore you perform your duties, but you perform it without attachment. So that means you're going to be cultivating that. It doesn't mean you don't have attachment, but you're cultivating your mind. I want to give up this attachment. And so by thinking in that way, and whenever one can, offer the results to Krishna, see it in that context, contemplate it, then one gradually, by Krishna's grace, that knowledge and detachment come. Then one comes to a more elevated platform. Then one becomes fixed in devotional service, right? Then one is friends with the devotees. And so then one can worship the Lord uninterrupted. Okay. The most merciful Vedas, luring them with material results, prescribe karmas for persons who are opposed to bhakti, who are like animals, in order to remove the strong desire for enjoyment. In this manner, starting from the morning, they will not have the opportunity for sinful acts by engaging in prescribed actions like bathing, right? So in the morning, then they'll get out of bed, you know, organize, go take their bath, and then start, you know, something auspicious. Otherwise, they'll just lay in bed. Who knows when they'll get up, you know, get something to eat, sit around and not take a bath. You know, I mean, just animal life. By not engaging in eating forbidden food or sex life, the person fears sinful acts and becomes attached to his prescribed duties. If such things were not offered as reward, these persons would not respect the rules, since it would be impossible for them to follow the injunctions. Right? They're following the injunctions because of the attachment to the results they'll get from following the injunctions. So they don't have the character enough to follow in the injunctions because they're just a fabulous person. Right? So it's pointing out here, unless there's a benefit, why would they follow? Right? And so that's the whole point is that unless you're following the injunctions of the Vedas, they are purifying. So we see is what's very interesting is that, you know, in Marx's idea, because, you know, he centers it all around money, is that the whole impetus for it is that by everyone working nicely together, then everything is prosperous. And once people see how prosperous that is, then they'll just naturally perform their duty with great enthusiasm. But the what is missed out is that why would they want to work like that? Seeing that someone else made the money, you take that money away from them, then you have two things. The general public, they'll want some of that money. And so, you know, they'll work as much until they get this money. And then the few that are chosen to manage all this money, they want to, they're interested in managing the money, having control of the money, having that position and authority. So once they get it, they'll continue with their interest, but the general public doesn't. Like you see in the failed experiment of communism in Russia, then those who were Russian, you know, how you say, I don't know what you call them, but the leaders in the thing, you know, the individuals who are equal, but more equal than others, you know, like that, they all remained communists and wanted to reestablish it because they had authority. But you see, the common public didn't. And the public didn't come to that point where they're so enthusiastic, do their work so nicely. And it was out of fear. You know, so the government controlled the people by fear, not by that. So it doesn't work. So unless there is that result that is given by the Vedas, that's in line with what will work for human beings. But these others, then you see as they remain attached to sense gratification and sinful activity. So they'll never elevate themselves. So anything other than pure bhakti is the basis, and then centered around that, you expand the secondary elements. No other social system can work. It's impossible. You know, it'll get some effect to some degree, and then it'll fall apart like that. But it can't actually work. So it's only the understanding that, you know, like the sages, that performance of prescribed duties is there because of the benefits. But at the same time, is by performing it without attachment, then you get knowledge and detachment comes up more, and then you can appreciate more the value of bhakti. So you start shifting your attention more and more towards bhakti rather than towards the karma. And just continuing Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport, understanding the meaning of the Vedas and seeing the difficulty in controlling the senses, the intelligent person should perform karma yoga, right? So then they should be in contact with that. So they understand is that they're not going to. So the only way is to follow the Vedic injunctions. That will do. Because when you have pure attachment to Krishna, you're not interested in any Maya. But until that comes, then you perform your prescribed duties. Then a doubt. Then performing karma yoga, the result be attachment to the results and not freedom from karma. Then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur then gives the counter. Without attachment to the results, one should offer to the Lord, right? So that's the point, is that you're going to have, you're only working because of attachment to results. And therefore, then the result of that karma is going to be more karma. It's not going to be liberation. But then he's pointing out, no, but without attachment to the results, you should offer it to the Lord, right? Then the doubt comes, because you're going to say you're going to offer it to the Lord. So then the doubt comes up. But because of hearing about the material results, one will become attached to the results. You know, so you've heard about the results, you want to get those results. And so then that's why you're working. So how can you, without attachment, offer it to the Lord? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur continues, no, in order to produce a taste for karma yoga, the results are praise, like offering candy to a child so he will drink medicine. The Shruti says, etam vedan vedanu vachanena brahmana vividi shanti brahmacharyena tapasa shraddhaya yagyena na sakena cha. Desiring knowledge, following the Vedas, the Brahmanas perform austerities and sacrifices, observing celibacy. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. 4.4.22. Understanding that performance of sacrifices and other karmas have knowledge as the goal, that the person then begins to perform a nishkama, karma. Because of understanding that the results, like swarga, are for persons with material desires. A person without those desires does not attain those results. Right? So you know that they're given there just so that you'll be engaged in the karmas. So therefore, if you know that, that it's only for that, it's not for going to heaven. It's just that's there so that you'll be inspired. Then a person acts without that attachment, without that desire, right? Because so that takes on the higher principle. So that's what you're trying to get up to, is appreciating that it's there in the beginning because people have their desires and all that. It's just like, remember in when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining from Shraddha to Prema, so when he's talking about Anartha, Nivritti, then that third position then is one is thinking, if I renounce everything and take up the renounced order, then life is simple, and then I can fully focus on the devotional activities. And then, but he says, but at the same time, as the scriptures also say, that you can perform your duties and be situated in household life and offer the results to Krishna. And in this way, then you come to the transcendental position. And so he gets confused because he has material desire and he's looking at what will be the benefit from both sides, from the karma and from the jnana. So he's not necessarily seeing it, but the shastras are there, and he's seeing the aspect that it's connection to Krishna, to devotion, but it's more about the results he'll get. So he may start there. And then from that, we see as he goes more and more, he gets purified through knowledge and detachment. Then you come to that fourth stage, which is war with Maya. So you say, no, I'm going to do it like this. I'm going to be engaged in the Lord's service. So therefore, I'm going to see everything in connection with the Lord. If I'm in the household position, I'm going to offer everything to the Lord like that, even if I'm not, whatever I have, because it's just a matter of volume. Even if you only have a few pieces of clothes and a loaded, it's still some possessions, you offer that to the Lord. Even if you're like the python sad or these ones that walk around like what's his name, Narad Muni's friend, Parvata Muni. He has no clothes at all in the four Kumaras, but the body and mind and senses belong to Krishna, so they offer that to Krishna. So in any case, there's always that offering to Krishna. Continue with Vishwanath's purport. Acts arising from bhakti misra jnana with offering of the results of karma yoga to the Lord produce negation of karma. Sardartha Darshini 11.3.46. Right? So anytime you connect these performing your work without attachment, then it's going to start to the process that you're going to be better situated than you're just doing the karmas for the benefit. You're doing it because it should be done. But then we see is that once the yoga aspect is connected, then you're giving the results to the Lord. So in this case, because it talked about the Brahmins being interested in knowledge, so therefore when they connect the bhakti to it, then it's going to give better results. Because as we saw before, all paths only give their fruit because of bhakti. So as soon as he starts adding bhakti, it gets better. Right? Then continuing with Jiva Goswami's comments. Ya asu hridaya grantim nirjihir shuf paratmanaha vidino pacharad devam tantro tena chakeshavam. One who desires to cut the knot of false ego, which binds the spirit soul, should worship the Supreme Lord, Keshava, by the regulations found in literature such as the Pancharatra and the Vedas. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.47. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Kama Yoga was directed at foolish people. Now, here, instruction for the wise. This verse encourages people to worship the Lord directly. One should desire to cut the ahankara, hridaya grantim, of the atma, which is different from the body, parat manaha. One should worship the Lord according to the rules of the agamas, tantrokena. The word cha indicates the Vedas. Right? So when you're using Pancharatra, because it's a transcendental literature, it's paravidya, it's not aparavidya. You know, the performance of the yajnas, the samskars, that's aparavidya. So that's why then the Vedas also support. So therefore, then, if you can't engage directly in the Bhagavat alone, like we engage in that, we chant, we hear Bhagavatam, we're doing these aspects. So we're worshiping the deity, we're dealing with the direct activities. But we're following them in the context of the regulation given by Pancharatra. So Pancharatra is such that it gives regulation just connected to the Lord. So then that's the aspect that's there. Then he says below that, there's that ego, that I'm a Brahmin, so I perform these Brahminical activities and this and that. And that way I will get the benefits. Either on the lower level than the heavenly planets or other material facilities, or the higher level, I'll become liberated by this. But then it says that that's for the foolish people, the ones who are distracted by mundane desire, for karma or jnana, because both are mundane. So the real for the wise is that no, bhakti is the highest. Therefore, I will do everything for bhakti. Yes, please.
Guru Maharaj, when we studied Yaya Sutra, you and Jagadish Prabhu said that when we follow to the Panchanga and Yaya, when we start from same point and finish on same point, it's a masculine logic. And when we start from one point and finish by another point, it's a feminine way of logic. Can we think that this direct and indirect ways of presentations are for feminine or masculine nature of mind?
Means you have that aspect, because it's not that the ultimate point, the conclusion will come up the same. But what we're talking about is that you're seeing the goal first. So it's like, it means when we have sambandha, abhideya, prayojana, that's using intelligence. And so then we're going to go from seeing, means it's on a subtle platform here. We see the field of knowledge. Then we see that these activities can be performed. Then certain activities are within the range of our duties. So therefore, we'll perform those activities. And then we will get that result. But then what you're saying is that the other is that you're using the mind as more prominent in the equation, that you're going to see the field, you can see the results that you can gain. Right? And so seeing the results you can gain, therefore now you're willing to use that identity to perform the activity to get that result. So we see it's based on I will get something, but in any case you're going to make the endeavor and get the results. So overall, it's the subtleties within how the mind and intelligence work together. So if the intelligence is more prominent, then you're going to see what are the options that are there that are recommended. Then the mind will choose within that which is proper. The other is that the mind sees the options. And then once choosing, then it engages the intelligence. But in any case, we know the mind has to be guided by the intelligence. So whether it's masculine or feminine or like that, it still has to be guided by the intelligence. So ultimately, it has to come back to that Krishna, he being the supreme male, then everything is brought in line with his desire, his interest. Does that make any sense?
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
Okay. Okay, continue Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. One should desire to cut the ahankara, pridaya grantim, of the atma, which is different from the body, paratmanaha. One should worship the Lord according to rules of agamas, tantaroktena. The word cha indicates the Vedas, Sardatta Darshani 11.347. Right? So cha means also. So you're following, in other words, you're directly approaching the Lord. It may not have that spontaneous aspect, but it has that regulated aspect of sadhana that the Pancharatra gives. So in other words, you have the spontaneous, okay, nice. But the point is unless one is free from all material contamination, one won't be able to function on that platform. So therefore, to come to that platform of liberation, then you perform your acts to please the Lord by what the agamas give. And then that's supported then by the Vedas, by your lifestyle, because how you situate yourself, if you're situated as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, or brahman, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, however you situate yourself to support your pancharatric endeavor, your devotional endeavor, then that is then how you arrange it. So you see is that worship of the Lord is the prominence, then that's regulated by pancharatra to make sure that it's connected to the Lord and it's regulated, and then that's supported by the Vedas. Then you see the whole plan work. So then the Vedic, which is offering the material benefits, is the tertiary aspect here, right? Like that means the first is pure bhakti, then the second will be the pancharatric supporting that, though both of them are still within direct devotional service, in the primary, actually. And so then the Vedas become the second, the next thing down from there. Does that make some sense? Yeah, okay. So then Jiva Goswami continuing, quoting from Sridhar Swami. The commentary says, paroksha vada means doing something else to hide the real meaning. Shruti says, tam va etam chatur hutam santam chatur hotet ya chakshate parokshena paroksha priya iva deva deva ki. The four oblations are called the four sacrifices by indirect expression. The devas are fond of speaking indirectly. Gopataha brahmanaha. This parokshavada is explained in the verse above. Karma is advised to free people from material actions. Then a doubt. Quote, but one does karma for attaining swarga, not for becoming free from karma. End quote. It is like, so then his uttara, it is like instructing children. Father makes a child drink medicine by tempting him with sweets and then gives him the sweets. The goal is not to have the child drink the medicine, but to make the child healthy. Thus the Vedas lure people with other results and prescribe karmas in order to free the person from karmas, right? So you're trying to free them from karmas, but then you present the heaven, going to the heavenly planets. So it's not that, it's that. It's not about the medicine. It's not about the yajnas. It's not about going to heavenly planets. It's actually about being freed from material entanglement, because that's where soul's not actually supposed to be here. Right? Okay. Agyaha means a person who has no faith in hearing topics of the Lord, who does not hear topics of the Lord. Consequently, he has uncontrolled senses. He does not have detachment from enjoyment and is not inquisitive about Brahman. It is said that one should have faith in the topics of the Lord and detachment from matter. Quoting from Bhagavatam, one should continue to perform the Vedic ritualistic activities only until one becomes detached from material sense gratification and develops faith in hearing and chanting about me. Right? So that's the higher principle. So they're used until you come to that platform. It's not that it's all right. No, it's there. Yes, it is all right until you come to this platform. When you come to this platform, then there's no need of it. Then if there's an advantage because the situation you're in, let's say as a householder, you still have to maintain the family. So therefore it's continued because it maintains the family. Or we see sometimes great personalities like we see quoted in the Bhagavatam, then they set an example for the others, how they can also then follow this and elevate themselves through this process of Naishkarma. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It is natural that the overly attached jiva is qualified for karma. When will he become qualified for jnana and bhakti? He should perform his daily periodic duties, karmaani, as long as he has not purified his heart by karmas and has not become detached. Thus, when he becomes detached, he becomes qualified for jnana. This was stated in verse 7. Or he should continue his karmas until faith and topics of Lord arise by sudden mercy of devotees, right? So it's going to be the mercy of the devotees these things come. So what we see is how important it is, this definition, like you see, is that the neophyte has faith in God, but not in the devotees, and can't really distinguish between the devotees and the karmi so much. He can't really understand so much what is important and not. He thinks the karmis have great character and things like that. But then the Madhyama, he sees the devotees, and the Uttama, it's always about just serving the devotees. They're serving the, they don't see themselves as serving the Lord. They always see themselves, I'm serving the servant of the servant. They don't see I'm serving the Lord. They want an opportunity to serve, but that opportunity is as the servant of your servant. Right? So then that central point. So this point that by the sudden mercy of devotees, that when devotees come along, then you see these sudden activities happen. So placing the devotional service as the center, the and that the key to that is the devotees, that's then how the culture is supposed to unwind. If we take it and make karmas the main thing, the central theme, and then look at it from that, the perfection of karmas, then we're not going to necessarily see that devotees are very important. We'll take the ritualistic activities that are important. Or if we don't even have faith in the ritualistic activities in the Vedas, then we will we'll make up our own ideas of what's morality and what's, social construct. And then in that way, performing sinful activities, then naturally there's not going to be much faith in that in the devotees. It'll just be, okay, those individuals who think like me, then they're okay. And individuals who think different from me are not okay, even though all of that group is devotees, but it's not based on being devotees. It's based on how they think the way I think, how they follow the religion I think is religion. Before that faith, he was qualified only for karma. When faith appears, as explained in the previous verse, he becomes qualified only for bhakti and no longer qualified for karma, right? Because he doesn't have faith in karma, so he can't actually perform the activities in karma. His faith should be exclusive. The person has firm faith that he will reach perfection by hearing about the Lord, not by karma or jnana. This arises only by association with pure devotees. So that has to be sought out. And you're associated with pure devotees to learn from them about how to execute pure devotional service, not how to justify my attachments on the material platform, my qualification for karma. And that's the best thing, and everything should be judged from that platform. So we have to be very careful to see that association of the pure Vaishnavas means from the platform of actually wanting to attain pure devotional service. It is said, Shruti Smriti Mamai Vagye Yaste Ulankya Vartate. Agyaj chedhi mama dveshi badbhaktopi na vaishnavaha. The Shruti and Smriti literatures are to be understood as my injunctions. And one who violates such code is to be understood as violating my will and thus opposed to me. Although such a person may claim to be my devotee, he is not actually a Vaishnava, right? Because that's the thing, is when you have that faith, then and you're following, that's the symptom of the Madhyama Adhikar, is that he has faith in the Lord, faith in the Lord's instructions, faith in the Vaishnava. So he then follows that nicely. And so then he's actually considered Vaishnava. Well, the neophyte devotee then is following in the footsteps, desirous of attaining that position to have that faith. So that's why then he's considered in that category, because then he will get association of the Madhyamas. And then this way, then getting that mercy, then he will advance. But otherwise, you see, is by the mentality, much of the time at being Prakriti Bhaktis, they have more faith in the material energy and the karmis than they necessarily do in the devotees. And so then we see is that they don't have the faith that the devotional service itself will solve the problems. They think that no, that by these other mundane arrangements, then we'll make the perfect society, the perfect association. So then it's not there. So technically they're not Vaishnavs, because Vaishnavs have faith in the Lord, faith in the devotees, faith in the devotional process, like that. That's the symptom. Oh, Krishna. Can you still hear us, or did we disappear?
Yes, you're there.
Okay.
Yes, Guru.
Okay, because so then so that's the whole point. But we see by Baladev's position, I mean his presentation, then it means, you know, you have the pure devotional service, and then that in pursuance of attaining that position is all counted as pure devotional service. That way then you can have someone who's a neophyte who really wants to come to the platform of pure devotion, and he's following, you know, the instructions of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra very nicely, though he may still have attachment for material things or not necessarily act in the most wonderful ways. But they're counted as third-class pure devotees, because their intent is pure devotion. What they don't necessarily have it, but that's their intent. And so then that way, then they're third-class pure devotees. Then with time, by the mercy of the devotees, then they come up to that point of getting that firm faith, and they see nothing else other than bhakti as the process, nothing other than pleasing Krishna as the process, and nothing else can actually do anything in that connection. Nothing else can gain that except bhakti. Others can only be a supporting environment for the cultivation of bhakti, but nothing else itself has any value other than its connection to that bhakti. Then they come to that platform. By that, being steady on that, you get the taste attachment that moves you through to then the position of being situated very solidly in pure devotion. Then that, as we see, as then the acharyas explain, then, you know, we've heard about it, we try to act in it, we try to remember the Lord, so then that those three principles become constant, then they become very deep, it comes to samadhi, then being on that platform of exclusivity, then it comes to the point where then one can take part in the Lord's pastimes. And taking part in those pastimes by the association of those eternal associates who are on the platform of prema, then oneself then comes to that platform. Right? So we see it's an ongoing thing. There's a plan there and how it moves up through this. And so then it becomes very, very nice. So that's then what the acharyas are recommending for us. Yeah? Does that make sense? So we see here is he can claim to be a devotee, but he's not. And he violates the code. That means all the codes. Because notice what before with Vishnu's giving the example, he's saying irregular eating and illicit sex. He's putting the two together, because that's what's going to happen. People wake up in the morning, there's no regulation. Then if they can, they'll get into sexual activities. They'll get into eating something. They haven't taken a bath and brushed their teeth. They don't care. You know? And so all these kind of things is that he just means it's unregulated. That's the problem. You have to regulate. Then you can control the senses. Then you can progress. So then here is that they're not actually because they violate their will. They don't want to follow the instructions. They don't want to regulate their life. They want to do whatever they want. And so then to that degree that they have that, that lessens actually their strong standing as a Vaishnava. Means they're situated in the association of Vaishnavas, but they're not taking it very seriously because they're maintaining such attachment to their own material desires, and those material desires aren't necessarily being regulated by the Vedas. So how can they claim to actually be serving Krishna, you know, very nicely? It means they're doing something, they're there, that'll be appreciated. And as they take advantage of that, then they can move forward. But if they allow that independent nature to get what they want, how they want, when they want, it will become an obstacle where it might cover the devotional progress. And then, you know, one will have to take it up again later by the mercy of the devotees. Right? Does that make sense? We're good?
Yeah. Yes, Guru Maharaj.
Okay. Thus, continuing with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's, thus, the devotee does not disobey the Lord's order. Rather, he develops faith. He will never disobey the orders of the Lord. Right? So we see that position where he has faith in the Lord, so he wants to do that to please the Lord. Right? And so, but we see it's that faith in the Lord's order. Then he won't disobey. So he may have faith in the order, but not be strong enough to follow it. So he knows, yes, he should regulate himself or this or that. He can't quite do it, but he has faith that he should be. And that's just pleasing to the Lord. And that's what he wants to attain. So that's what Krishna is talking about, that devotee is rightly situated because he understands the nature of pure devotion. He's trying to attain that position, even though he's not on that position. So it's not as good as he never disobeys. Right, so that's the symptom of the madhyama. Is basically it's prominent. The prominence is that. There may be a little bit of something else, but the prominence is that. As Prabhupada points out, the nishta means 75%. You've cleared the heart, so that 25 is still there, but the prominence is 75. So that generally so it's progressive. It will generally go forward, and that. While below that, then it's slower. But as one keeps that faith and all those things, he has faith in that Lord. He knows that this is the right thing. He knows that his position, if he's not quite up to the standard, is not ideal. But he is desiring to come to that platform because he knows that's the only platform of value. So then Krishna says he's rightly situated. So he does move forward by the grace of the Lord and the Vaishnavas. Then he comes to this platform that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions here, that he doesn't disobey. Rather, he develops faith. He will never disobey. It's because of the faith, not because he didn't do. So the faith is the central point. That's what you're seeing, the faith of the neophyte, the faith of the Mandibhya, the faith of the Uttama. That's the whole, their absorption in the name. Right? How much they understand about Krishna's philosophy. These are the three that is given that are the definitions of the levels. Not the externals, what they're doing. Right? That can be seen as a further thing, but that's not taken as the main. You see, what's their faith and attachment to the name? What's their faith and attachment to Krishna? What's their faith and attachment to you know, the Vaishnavas and, so that kind of aspect is what you're looking at. So that's going to be the main thing. And then secondary, okay, they're still making, you know, they're not always as regular as they should be. Then it's not as developed, but by that association, it will become there and it'll become solid. So we see here is that there's a progression, natural progression. This applies to anyone, anywhere. So this is not just some, oh yeah, okay, the karma yoga and the Nishkam karma and all these different things and like that. So it's meaning that everybody will go through these stages to come up to the platform of bhakti. Yes? Good. Some persons say that even if he does not attain the mercy of great devotees and consequently does not develop that faith on seeing the excellence of other devotees, not great devotees, He gives up karma and takes up worship of the Lord, following his orders. Others say that since Shruti and Smriti recommend bhakti, not varnashrama, a person understanding this takes the bhakti, even if he does not meet the greatest devotees. For the Lord says, Agyayaivam gunan doshan maya dishtan api swakan dharaman shantyagya yaf yas sarvan mam bhajeta satu satamaha satamaha. A person who, understanding good and bad aspects of dharma as taught by me, gives up all his duties and simply worships me, is the best of all. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.32. Devotees may think that, since they are devotees following purely, it is not necessary to follow injunctions, prohibitions in Shruti and Smriti, such as vows like Ekadasi and forbidden acts like putting coconut water in a bell metal vessel, or putting yogurt or milk in a copper vessel, or eating the Lord's offerings before offering to the Lord. However, understanding that the Shruti and Smriti are the Lord's order, they should follow those instructions. Sardarta Darshini 11.29. So this idea, oh, we're devotees, we don't care for the rules, then the Vishnu is pointing out here, that's not what the Lord's saying. Because the Lord has said these rules, that's why we follow them. And so then that's the whole point. Like that. So you understand what is the higher, that bhakti is the highest thing. Therefore, you're trying to move in that direction. That's going to be the dynamic aspect. So having heard from the Vaishnavas and then acting in that way, that's going to be the best. Yes? We're good?
Maharaj?
Huh, yes.
Just a side point. Here it's mentioned about keeping yogurt and milk in copper vessels. So we should never keep that like that?
No, you can't. You can't keep. You can't keep. Means you might be cooking, but then you have to see the pot is clean and everything, but you can't keep them in there. It means you can't store them.
Okay.
Because they'll react with copper.
Okay.
And if you have something else, you can use it. Like we have stainless steel pots, so then, you know, for the milk yogurt, you may use it like that. But, you know, for the vegetables and rice and everything else, you can cook that in the copper. But you can cook in the other if you shine it first. Because the problem with the copper is that the oxide comes off. Mm-hmm. When you put sour, the oxide comes off. So if it's black and you put yogurt, it'll become shiny. So all that oxide goes into the yogurt. But if it's already shiny, you put the yogurt, then it won't take anything off. There's nothing to react to. The sour reacts to the oxide, not to the copper itself.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, understood.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, then continuing with, I think, with the, you know, Jiva Goswami's comments. Such a person attains sufferings equivalent to death after dying. Mrityo mrityum, by not performing prescribed actions, vikarmana, he repeatedly dies and suffers. Yeah, equivalent to death after dying, right? So then, you know, there's going to be the hellish treatments or, you know, ending up in the animal kingdom, which is also a very hellish kind of condition. They become perfect when they... He cannot become free from suffering by renouncing prescribed actions. Having the Lord as his goal, he can be free of suffering by the Lord's mercy, by correctly offering actions to the Lord. Thus, actions prescribed by the Vedas are undertaken, not forbidden. Right? Because you're doing it in connection with the Lord, and it suits your position. You know, what you have qualification for, what do you have adhikar for? You know, so then it's applied. You know, so you're not giving up those actions unless you don't have the qualifications for them. Like, let's say, many of the actions of the grihastha, the brahmachari, vanaprastha, and yas, don't have the qualifications for. You know, the grihastha, they have their things that they're qualified for, but certain things they're not qualified for, vanaprastha, sannyas. So it's just a matter of which ones, according to your mentality. So we see here is the whole focus on this is about faith in the Lord and his instructions. You know, that's the main thing. And how much you have attachment for or not of the material, you know, facilities and results. So if you have faith in the Lord, no attachment to the material, then you can engage directly just in the direct devotional activities and be organized. And then you see his Pancharatna is there to regulate your day so that you have still have regulations so that you don't fall back into sinful activities. But it's all centered around the Lord. And so you don't, the elements of Varnashram are very superficial. But then if we have more attachments and all that, then, you know, the aspects of that stays where we're have that faith in the Lord. We have the you know, following the Pancharatra, it regulates our life. And we supplement that with the Varnashram aspects that are, you know, valuable for maintaining ourselves and, you know, taking care of those material desires that need to be regulated and taken care of. And by doing that with that faith in the Lord, and in the devotional process, then knowledge and detachment will come with time. Then you can follow all those things without the attachment. And then naturally, when it's those things that are of no use anymore, may be given up. Like you see sometimes, he's working hard, he's doing all his things, and as he gets more, he starts working less and putting more time into devotional activities and things like that. And so then you just start seeing that adjustments are there. Adjustments are there. Okay. He cannot become freed from suffering by renouncing prescribed actions. Having the Lord as his goal, he can be freed of suffering by the Lord's mercy, by correctly offering actions to the Lord. But by correctly means how it's pleasing to the Lord. You know, giving by what the Shastras give, what the Acharyas give, then what our instructions are, the great personalities, and then what works for us in our particular adhikar. Thus actions prescribed by the Vedas are undertaken and not forbidden. They become perfect when they no longer produce the bondage of karma, naishkarmyam. So when you're performing them and you don't need the results, so therefore then you're becoming free from karma. That then karma has come to its perfection. So when karma comes to the point of naishkarmya, then it's actually become perfect. That's because the purpose of the karma is to give you freedom from material entanglement. Quote, so this would be in that. In performing these prescribed actions, one will develop attachment to the results, right? So this will be the doubt. Thus, it will not lead to freedom from bondage of karma. End quote. You know, so that's the doubt. So he says, the action should be performed without attachment. Nisangaha, offered to without attachment, offered to the Lord, not for material results. So without you offer everything to the Lord without attachments. You're not looking for the results. You're just trying, it's the Lord's pleasure. You're trying to make the Lord pleased by cooking this preparation nicely for him. You're not looking to make the fabulous prep and, you know, take pictures and put it on Instagram because you're such a fabulous cook. And then you offer it to the Lord. You know, so the point is that ultimately it's offered to the Lord. And then it should be offered to the Lord without your attachment to the benefits of these. All right. And so then as that comes, then you see. So it starts there, like Krishna says, offer the results of your actions to him. Even though you may still identify on the material platform, you're working on the material platform for the material benefits you'll get, you're not looking, you're still looking at the ultimate result that's given to Krishna. That will purify you. Because bhakti is there, and aspect of Krishna, it's more and more about just this is the things that please Krishna, since it's Krishna's instructions. Right? Krishna's instructions, he's given all these different things. He does things in this way, so he likes those things. So when you do it in that way, he becomes pleased. So that becomes the point, rather than it's the rule or that. So one always has to keep the focus on that. Or as we see, is that it's not an uncommon thing for the mentality to start on the platform of pure bhakti. And because of pure bhakti, you want to follow, you know, the rules and regulations very nicely. But you take the symptom of following nicely as the complete symptom of that faith in the Lord. And then one gets distracted, where one just gets into the rules and regulations, and that's all. And then you become distracted from pure devotion. You don't see that as the goal, and you just look at that, how well one is following or not following everything, and seeing that is simply the real symptom. But Krishna is saying about how you chant, how, you know, your quality of chanting, your quality of faith, and how much you actually understand the knowledge, because knowledge of the Lord is revealed. So it's not that I studied more, so I know more. No, it's revealed. There are people who study everything and still don't understand. They can talk for hours, but they don't say anything properly. Right? Okay, how are we doing on time? Oh, okay, so the time is up here. So, okay, so we're good. Okay, so then we'll end here. Sahel. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.